Our scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where we will read the first 11 verses. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. That's our scripture reading, and especially that last verse. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. It's that verse that we're going to pick up in the sermon this morning. But with this passage in mind, we turn to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 21. Question 55, page 12 in the back of your Psalter. Remember, the Heidelberg Catechism is explaining the Apostles' Creed. And last Sunday, we treated question 54, what believest thou concerning the Holy Catholic Church of Christ? We do confess our faith concerning the Holy Catholic Church, and then we also confess our faith concerning the communion of saints, and that's the focus of question 55. What do you understand by the communion of saints? First, that all and everyone who believes, being members of Christ, are in common partakers of him and of all his riches and gifts. Secondly, that everyone must know it to be his duty readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. There is the instruction of the Catechism. According to the Catechism here, the communion of saints takes place on two different levels or planes. First of all, and primarily, the saints of God enjoy a rich communion with God in Jesus Christ. Notice the Catechism. All and everyone who believes, being members of Christ, are in common partakers of him and all his riches and gifts. That's communion on the vertical level. In Jesus Christ, God, to use the word communion, communicates to us all the riches and gifts of salvation. But the Catechism goes on to say, secondly, that the saints enjoy a rich communion with one another. The Catechism speaks of every saint readily, cheerfully employing his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. That's communion on a horizontal plane. Having received of Jesus Christ his riches and gifts of salvation, we then share them with each other for our mutual welfare. Now the Catechism sets this forth as a reality among the saints. In the Apostles' Creed, We are confessing with the church of all ages that there is such a communion of saints. It is a reality among all believers. And it is that because of the very nature of our faith. This reality of the communion of saints is a reality because of the power of God's Word. God calls us in His Word to seek the blessings that are in Christ Jesus, to lay hold of the gifts that are in Him, and having received those gifts, to use them for the advantage of the other members of the church. And it's by the power of that Word of God that calls us to that work of faith that the communion of saints becomes a reality in the church. But, and now to connect this to the instruction of the previous question and answer, this becomes a reality only within the Church Institute. Last week, we discussed the fact that Christ has instituted an organization called the Church Institute, ordaining within her the offices of minister, elder, and deacon, giving them the work of preaching the gospel, administering the sacraments, exercising Christian discipline, taking care of the poor. We noticed last week how membership in that church is essential for our salvation. What I want to point out today is that it's only in connection with that church and its ministry, and especially the Word that is preached, that the Word of God through Christ becomes powerful to bring us to Christ, to receive His riches and gifts, and then to share them with one another for our mutual advantage and salvation. And in that great communion, we receive, enjoy, and live our salvation. And so I call your attention to the communion of saints. And we notice, first of all, just take the two ideas of the catechism, their communion with Christ, and secondly, their communion with each other. The communion of the saints is, according to the Catechism, first of all, the communion that they have with Christ. All and everyone who believes, being members of Christ, are in common partakers of Him and all His riches and gifts. What's the Catechism saying here? It's saying, first of all, that in Jesus Christ you will find riches, fabulous riches, and gifts. These riches are the spiritual riches of salvation that Jesus Christ has earned at the cross for those whom the Father gave Him, the elect church, and which Christ has obtained from the hand of God the Father in His exaltation. All the riches of salvation now belong to Jesus as He sits at God's right hand, and He bestows these freely as gifts to His people for whom He gave His life. Riches and gifts. And the Catechism is saying, by faith, which joins us to Christ, makes us members of Him. We not only partake of Christ, but all of these riches and gifts. Through faith, these riches are communicated to us as believers. This communion between Christ and the believer is expressed again and again in Scripture. A very obvious expression of this is the benediction of the Apostle Paul to the church of Corinth. The closing benediction, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, which we use also in our own worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Notice the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That refers to the salvation which Jesus Christ has graciously obtained for us and now has for us in heaven. The love of God explains the motive behind it all. The triune God in His love sent Christ to obtain all this gracious salvation. And now there is the communion of the Holy Spirit. It is through the Spirit who resides in our hearts as the Spirit of Christ, who works faith in our hearts and lives, and brings us to Christ, that all these blessings and of salvation and of grace are communicated to us. Now let's examine the gifts of salvation that are communicated to us by the Holy Spirit. As believers in Christ, we all possess what Jude calls the common salvation. There's only one chapter in Jude, and verse 3, he says, I had intended to speak and write to you about the common salvation, but the Holy Spirit led him rather to focus his attention on those who turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. The common salvation. That term indicates that the salvation that you enjoy, or I enjoy in Christ, is a salvation that's common to every believer. There are not different salvations for different believers. The salvation that we have here in this Dutch Reformed Church is the same salvation that is in common with every race, tribe, and tongue under heaven. The salvation that men have is the same as women have. The same salvation that adults have, the children share. The rich and the poor alike who believe in Christ all possess the same salvation. And that salvation is complete salvation from sin. It includes such things as a perfect righteousness that Christ provides so that we can stand before the face of God, our judge, without sin. That salvation includes forgiveness. It includes adoption to be the sons and daughters of God and heirs of eternal life. It includes the new birth to be formed to the very image of God. It includes a new life, a life of service and friendship and fellowship with the ever-blessed God. Whenever that salvation is communicated to us by faith, we enjoy the communion of saints. In fact, the communication of these riches and the communication of these gifts is what really makes us saints, those who are holy in their life. And that results in a close life of friendship and fellowship with God in Christ, in which we serve Him gladly according to His commandments. But there's more. The riches and gifts mentioned by the Catechism also include specific gifts that equip each one of us in a very unique way to be of service to God in His kingdom. Each one of us, first of all, by the hand of God, has been blessed with various natural gifts and abilities. To some, not all, God gives such gifts as leadership, organizational skills, business sense, musical abilities, great intellect, the ability to teach. The list goes on and on and on. None of us has all of those gifts, but each of us has some gifts, some area in natural life where we excel. Now, how are you going to use those abilities without the grace of God's salvation? You're going to squander them on yourself for self-promotion and self-advancement. Or you simply may squander them and not use them at all. But when you become a partaker of Christ and the riches of salvation, then those gifts are transformed in such a way that you use them in the service of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ. In addition to that, there are also gifts that each of us receive from Christ that come from life's experiences under the hand of Christ who sits at God's right hand. Each of us has learned by the grace of God to cope with various difficulties of life. Some have gone through depression and by the grace of God have learned to cope with that terrible scourge and to manage it. Others have lost loved ones that left them devastated, but by the riches and gifts of Christ have learned how to cope with that and to go on in peace and contentment. Others have done the same with poverty. Others with alcoholism or some other sin that by the grace of God they've managed to overcome, and they know how to deal with those sins. And there are others who have raised children and by the grace of God have learned how to raise children in a godly home. Without the riches and gifts of Jesus Christ, they wouldn't be able to cope. They wouldn't be able to deal with them. But in Christ, they do. And these become tremendous gifts that Christ has given to them. And that's all part of the communion of saints, the riches and gifts that are communicated by the grace of God to His people. Now, what has to be emphasized is this. This communion on the vertical level is an existing reality within the church among believers. It's not something that we have to create. We're not called here to manufacture this. It is an existing reality because it is the work of God in Jesus Christ. He has chosen unto Himself a people. He has determined to give them riches and gifts in Jesus Christ that will save them from their sins. He sent Christ to the cross. He exalted Him. He blessed Christ with these riches. He reaches down through the Holy Spirit. He brings us to faith. And in that faith brings us to Christ. To share in these riches and to receive these gifts. He does that through the Word, through the power of His Word. In addition to the many passages of Scripture that we can point to that call us to faith and to turn our hearts to Christ, there are specific commands that God gives us that identify especially what we're talking about. Colossians 3, for example, 1 and 2. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Jesus in His Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. In the kingdom there is a perfect righteousness. And all of the wealth that comes with the righteousness of God in Christ, seek that first. John 6:27, Jesus rebuked the citizens of Capernaum, labor not for the meat or the food that perishes, but for the meat or the food which endureth unto eternal life, which the Son of God may give unto you. These are all words of God through Christ, coming to us and saying, come to me. Come to me in faith to find the riches and the gifts of salvation that I have for you. And that word becomes powerful by the work of the Spirit, so that not only are we brought to faith, but we are brought to Christ daily to receive the riches and the gifts that He has for us in the cross. But you know where and how that word becomes powerful? It doesn't become powerful simply by you sitting at home all by yourself or with your family reading the Scriptures. Even though that's important that we read the Scriptures and study them, that's not where this word receives its power. And it doesn't receive its power by turning in on the TV and listening to the televangelists who bring a skewered view of this word. This becomes powerful in the church, in the church institute, with the offices of minister, elder, and deacon, with the preaching of the Word, the administration of the sacraments, the exercise of Christian discipline. Again, as important as it is for you and I, with our families and our spouses, to study the Word at home, to instruct our children, this Word receives its power primarily through the preaching of the gospel on the Sabbath day. Through the preaching of the gospel in the official worship of the church, Christ speaks, and He speaks powerfully to raise up our faith, and in our faith to bring us to Him. And through the sacraments, that faith is further strengthened to bring us to Christ, the fountain of all riches and gifts, and through the exercise of Christian discipline. There's accountability for each one of us where we mutually encourage each other in the faith and are accountable for these things. These are the means that Christ uses to draw us unto Himself, that we may enjoy the riches of His gifts and salvation, and thus live a godly life and live in wonderful relationship and friendship with Him. Now, in that connection, let's each of us, beginning with myself, do a little self-examination. How much of our life, your life and mine, is focused on the riches and gifts that are in Jesus Christ, in comparison to the treasures and the pleasures of this world? And just how rich are you and I in this salvation compared to how rich we are with the things of this world? Isn't it true that often our earthly riches exceed our heavenly riches? And why is that? Why is that? Well, there's the imperfection of faith, isn't there? Our faith is not perfect. So we possess these riches, but we don't seek them as we ought. And that leaves us, to one degree or another, spiritually impoverished. So what must we do about that, and how is the key to change that? Well, there's prayer, there's resolve, there's repentance, but it comes. It comes ultimately through the power of the Word of God, as it's preached, as it's signified and sealed in the sacraments, as we are held accountable for it in mutual Christian discipline. When someone is spiritually impoverished, has more earthly riches than spiritual riches, it shows a neglect. A neglect of seeking first the kingdom of God, but also a neglect of the means of grace. Regular attendance in the house of God, to be here, to hear the preaching, to do the hard work of hearing the preaching, preparing for it, then the hard work of taking that home with you and applying it to your lives throughout the week. That key. And in the power of the preaching, focus on God's Word throughout the week. You know, years ago, most people in the church were illiterate. We're not. We have the ability to study the Bible. Let the power of the Word and the sacraments bring you in your homes during the week to the Word. And in that word, prayer and seeking the riches that are in Jesus Christ. That's our calling. But in that connection, that we may flourish and enjoy the riches of God in Jesus Christ, there is also a fellowship of the saints mutually. According to the Catechism, there is a communion of the saints in which each saint employs his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. No, the communion of saints on this level is not just saints and members of the church coming together socially to discuss anything and everything. Sports, business, weather, politics. Doesn't mean we may do that. But that really isn't the communion of saints. The communion of saints is rather to use the gifts that he has received from Jesus Christ in salvation for the advantage and salvation of other members of the church. It's to use your gift of teaching, if that's the gift you have and that has been sanctified by the grace of God, to instruct others in the Word of God. If you have great intellect and it's been sanctified by the grace of God and you are able to have insight into the Scriptures, communion of the saints means you share that with others. Even if you're not gifted so much with teaching. And it means to use your gift of music to edify others. To use the lessons, the hard lessons learned in life as you struggled with depression or anxiety or the loss of loved ones or whatever it may be, to assist others in similar situations. If God has blessed you with material wealth and He sanctified your heart by His grace to use that to the glory of God, then the communion of saints means you use that for the benefit of the poor as well as the ministry of the Word. And it means to use your time and your energy and every opportunity that God places before you to help the other members of the church. And of course, that doesn't mean that you use your time and energy and gifts just for the church. We read in Galatians 6, verse 10, do good as God has given you opportunity, do good to all men, but especially those of the household of faith. And that's the focus here. The household of faith. There's a great need for this kind of communion, communicating to each other the gifts that we receive from Christ. No one saint, no matter how gifted he is in Christ, can survive and flourish alone. Every saint can survive and flourish spiritually only in close communion with the other saints of God within the body of Christ. That becomes evident when we understand that the church is a body. The most common term for the church in the New Testament is the body of Christ. It compares the church to a human body. Look at your body. It has a head that rules. It has many members. Hands, feet, nose, ears, eyes, tongue, arms and legs. No one member of the body can survive and do its thing without the advantage and participation of the other members of your human body. What a great gift the eye has, it can see. But what is that if it doesn't share what it sees with the hands and the feet? What a great thing the hands can do, but without the ears and the eyes, the hands can do nothing. All the members of the body are interdependent. Cut one of them off, the body can mostly survive, but it's handicapped. It's true also for the church, which is the body of Christ. No one in the body of Christ, no matter how gifted, has all the gifts necessary to flourish, to be spiritually healthy, even to survive spiritually, much less serve the Lord. All the gifts that you and I need to survive, to be healthy, to serve the Lord, have been distributed by the grace of God and His wisdom throughout the whole church as the body of Christ. Where you lack and where you will flounder, someone else is gifted. And you need the advantage of that gift. You need that member of the body of Christ to reach out and to use his gift to assist you, or you will flounder. We can only survive and flourish with close interdependence upon one another. Each one using his gifts for the welfare of those around him, and each one being willing to be helped by those around in the body of Christ. And here we see the connection between our communion with God in Christ, according to which he bestows upon us the riches and gifts of salvation on the one hand, and our communion with one another. God's riches and gifts come to us in many ways through the communion of saints on our horizontal level as we share our gifts with one another. Yes, our enjoyment of Christ's riches and gifts require the ministry of the church. But in the context of that ministry and our membership in it and our receiving the means of grace, God uses this work of saints cheerfully, willingly using their gifts for the welfare of the others in the church. Again, this is a reality in the church. We also, in the Apostles' Creed, acknowledge this reality when we say, I believe the communion of saints. And we believe that because this is the very nature of faith. True faith, which is common to every believer and to every true member of the church, not only seeks Christ and his riches and gifts and receives them, but true faith also uses those gifts for the welfare of those around him. True faith recognizes none of us has all gifts. True faith recognizes we're all interdependent. True faith recognizes that the gifts that anyone has from the hand of God has been given not just to him alone, but has been given to the church. Underscore that. Whatever God has given to you as a gift, He gave to the church as the body of Christ to use, to assist the other members of the church. But again, because of the weakness of faith, this level of the communion of saints is far from perfect, isn't it? There are some who have a false sense of modesty. They say, I've got nothing to contribute to the whole. I don't have any gifts to help anybody. Others are too timid to use their gifts for the welfare of others. Perhaps more common, there are those who are so caught up in their selfish pursuits, they don't have time to help others. That they're just selfish, looking out for themselves. And then there are those in the church who have too much pride to acknowledge they need help, to ask for help, even to receive help when it's voluntarily offered. And so we're admonished in the Scriptures to use our time, our gifts, our abilities for the advantage of other members of the church. And I have two passages that I want to use here. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. 1 Peter 4:10. Notice this word of God speaks of the gift that each one of us in the church has received. That's further identified as the manifold grace of God. God, in His grace, has given us many different gifts of salvation. We each have gifts. And now, even as you've received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. In other words, use your various gifts to serve one another, to assist one another in godliness, in dealing with the difficulties of life, in serving the Lord. Assist one another. And we're told to do this as good stewards. A steward is a servant into whose possession important things are entrusted. And he must use that which is entrusted to him by his master for the master's service. That's what we are. What has God given to you? He's given to you your salvation. He's given to you many wonderful gifts in that salvation. He's sanctified many natural gifts. He's given you many gifts through life's experiences as you've learned by the grace of God and usually with the help of others to manage and to overcome adversity in your life. God gave those to you as stewards to use in His cause and interest. And He says, I want you to use them in the ministering to one another. That's what we're supposed to do. And then consider, finally, this passage in 1 Thessalonians 15, verse 11. Comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye do. Comfort one another. Remember, the original meaning of the word comfort in the English language is to assist. And that's the meaning here in the original. It speaks of standing by someone's side to help and assist. Isn't that what the communion of saints is all about on our human level? We are to stand by each other's side, if need be, even literally, to help and to assist one another. Added to that, and edify one another. That word means to build up, to build each other up in the faith. We must stand by each other. And the help we are to provide is to build them up and build each other up in our faith in Jesus Christ. Never, never stand by someone in the church to tear them down. That's easily done, isn't it? That's the inclination of our sinful nature. That destroys what we're supposed to accomplish. That's working contrary to the work of Christ, who will build His church. Stand by one another to build each other up in the faith. Do that in your marriage. Do that in your family. Do that in the schools. Do that among ourselves as families. And Paul adds, even as you do. Comfort yourselves together and edify one another even as ye do. The idea is, even as you're doing. He's saying, really in this passage, continue to comfort one another. Continue to edify one another, even as you are doing. That's what he's saying here. And that's in harmony with everything we said, isn't it, so far? The fellowship and communion of the saints on this level is an existing reality. However, it's far from perfect, and it is easily disrupted by pride, by jealousy, by self-promotion, by gossip. But the Word of God is saying here is this: make sure that you keep on doing, from a positive point of view, what you've been doing. Continue to stand by each other's side. Continue to build each other up. Don't let anything disrupt that. And continue to grow in this very and very important work that God has given to you as stewards of His manifold grace. Through this fellowship, we will be strengthened to serve the Lord our God. Through this fellowship, we will be led under the umbrella of the ministry of the church to be closer to our Lord, to be faithful, to know Him more and more, and to live with Him now and eternally. May God grant this. May we not only be hearers of the word, but also doers. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for the wonderful fellowship and communion of the saints. Lord, strengthen us in these things. Cause this fellowship to flourish so that more and more we participate in Jesus Christ and all His riches and gifts. And also that we assist one another with our gifts to the glory of Thy name. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.